Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 588. I am Chris, as always, joined by the math wizard, Tony.
Happy baseball season, everybody. Can you calculate your whip and your ERA? I know I can.
I don't even know what a whip means.
It's walks and hits per innings pitched.
Oh, of course I knew that.
Earl is here as well.
I got no baseball finagle language, but welcome to, I guess, April, because this is our first podcast of the month. And I am now sober.
No, you're not. No.
Well, I mean, I haven't touched alcohol since Saturday.
What happened?
Oh, it was my birthday, and I just like I was telling people like there was some point where I was just on autopilot because I'm like I don't remember like the last hour I was out with people. I'm like I got home and like all Sunday I was fine, but like all Sunday was just like me. Crap! Did I get this? Did I bring this home? Like my wallet? Okay, it's here. My keys are here. My credit card's here. I'm like, okay, good. So I remembered all this stuff. I just don't how or when I have to. I mean, I know how I am. My friend took me home, but I'm like, yeah. I was texting friends. I'm like, did I say goodbye to you folks? How was I? Because I'm like, I cannot remember. Like, I was fine. Like, it wasn't like anything. It was just like no memory whatsoever of like, the last hour there.
Oh, no.
So,
sounds like a good, fun time.
Yes.
And yeah, it was probably had by people who remember it.
Right. And then you spent all day Sunday recovering and torturing yourself with WrestleMania.
I actually enjoyed WrestleMania for the most part this year.
It was okay.
I thought night one was much better, and I do think them spreading it into two nights is better than the alternative, which was them doing 8-hour shows. Which is not helping anybody.
That's fair. I ended up watching most of it on both nights, and I was burnt out by the end.
Yes, and I think that is also the case. I actually ended up watching. I mean, because I had to. I watched both parts on Sunday, but I took like, you know, like I watched one in the morning, and then I had a break and did nothing, and watched the other one, and I thought it was fine. Yeah, it's entertaining enough. But it's going to be even more fun when I decide to go there next year. So, wee.
What was the Jackass fight?
It was on Sunday.
Yes, it was funny. Not my cup of tea, but a lot of people enjoyed it. So,
it was very goofy.
Yes, and I don't mind goofy. I think for me, it was more that it was. It felt like it should have been like half as long as it was.
Yeah, it was a little bit long. That was kind of what I thought about a lot of the matches. a lot of them went on.
Like the Pat McAfee thing too. It's like, oh, this is really fun. Oh, you're still going. Oh, we're going. Okay.
Yeah, it just kept dragging on. But the Jackass one was amusing.
Was it like mostly just Knoxville wrestling somebody or what?
Yeah, like it was. I mean, it was the Jackass. It was Knoxville wrestling somebody, but it was like. Like just say it was like a real. It's like wrestling via Jackass. So there's a lot of like
antics.
Yes, and like, yes, if you're a fan of Jackass, I think, and like a lot of, you know, a lot of cameos like Wee Man and.
So I don't. I mean, I've seen Jackass. I've seen the TV show. Like I'm not like Jeff knows way more about it than I do. But we were kind of like sitting down eating at the time that match was on. So kind of like looking out into the other room and my youngest daughter, like she's like, oh, there's a child in the ring. There's a little kid in the ring. And I go out, I'm like, that is not a child.
He's a 50-year-old man.
Yeah. It's like, that is a little old person.
A wee man. If you would.
Yes. Yes. A wee man. In fact, it was goofy, Jeff. Like, you know, there at one point the Knoxville like throws the guy into the corner and he falls down, legs split, and Knoxville gets a bowling ball and rolls it into his nuts.
Yeah, so like doing shit like that. That's kind of what I think.
It was goofy stuff like that.
It ends
cartoon with the other, type stuff. Like,
yes, it ends with an actual wrestler pinned in a giant mouse trap.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Which the mouse trap like didn't set, like it looked like it was supposed to just set off and like,
yeah,
you know, collapse on him. And Knoxville had to fix it to get it to work.
But yeah, somebody said something that I thought was actually really funny and cute. It's like, you know, Johnny Knoxville has been around a lot of mousetraps where he knew exactly how to fix that.
It was fun. It's not necessarily what you watch WrestleMania for, but it was enjoyable. Also the where Stone Cold Steve Austin kicked a 76-year-old man, tried to give him a stunner. And Vince McMahon just kind of collapsed.
Oh no!
I mean, he recovered eventually, but yes, it was not a pretty sight.
I think I don't know if I saw. I don't know if it was URL on Twitter or I heard it somebody on a podcast or something. Like, he's been taking stunners like for 30 years from this guy, and he still doesn't know how
to do it. Still off at it, yes. I said something similar because, like, the very first one that everybody remembers was when he did it at Madison Square Garden in 97. And he sells it like a fish dying, where he's just on the, I mean, it's a podcast, you can't see, but he's just on the ground and he's like, ooh, and I'm like, no, this is so bad. But that's the one that people remember because it's the very first one and it's the one that kind of starts their whole rivalry. But yeah, it's good to know that some things don't change, I guess.
Yeah, and I just thought it was ridiculous that, you know, McMahon is 76 years old. He's getting out there still doing stunts.
The thing I will say for him, though, is for 76, he still looks really good.
He is jacked. Like, he is a jacked 76-year-old man. He's kind of terrifying looking, actually.
Yes, I'm assuming that's all natural, you know.
Yeah. Stallone and Arnold aren't young, but like Vince looks like he looks manufactured. it's freakish.
Yeah.
Enough WrestleMania. How about Halo?
What's Halo?
Yeah, come on, WrestleMania.
Do people still play Halo?
Nope.
Well, I mean, if they're watching the TV show, I can understand why they decided not to. We got a new episode this week. And I think I mentioned last week that, you know, I've been getting up to watch them early in the day before I work on Thursdays, because I didn't want anybody to spoil it. And then I've grown really quickly that nobody else watches it on my timeline, so I won't get spoiled. So I'm like, today, let me be honest, let me be fair. I'm going to work. I got home. I played some Fortnite, you know, relax. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm going to give it an honest shot. I'm just going to watch it. No distractions. No, I'm not tired. I'm awake. I'm alert. And I'm like, okay, it's not the fatigue that's making the show suck for me.
It's just that it sucks.
And again, I think I going back to the original, the first week we talked about this, is I don't think it's a bad show, and it's not. I'm not gonna be like, oh man, it's not Halo. It isn't Halo, but they've taken such a generic stance on this world. Like, if I was to tell you this episode is about Master Chief has amnesia, they might have erased his memory from when he was a kid. That's like the plot of a lot of these kind of like super. I mean, it's RoboCop.
Yeah.
They got rid of, you know, Murphy's memories of his family, and those memories start to seep in again. And it's like, oh, okay, so this is the angle you decide to take with him. Like, I get that he's not the most complex character, but you could have done something new or interesting or halfway decent.
Yeah, for all, and what I think, and to note, I don't love it, but I'm like, I don't know, I'm enjoying it. It's really weird. But the storyline where, you know, Master Chief's memories are lost, that's actual Halo lore, and there was all this talk beforehand that they're not following any of, like, they're following the lore too closely. There's nothing new here. It does just feel, and that's part of the problem, Earl, is Halo kind of is generic super soldier guy.
Yes. And I think the way to remedy that would have been to make interesting side characters, but I don't like any of the side characters. I think the little girl who I guess is going to end up being like his surrogate, even though they don't spend any time together, is annoying to me.
Yeah, I don't like Quan.
I don't like the scientist because he's just both of the scientists. Because you have two opposing scientists. You think, okay, one's going to kind of be the evilish one, and the other one you kind of root for. Like, no, they're both kind of backstabbing and manipulative in their own way. I don't even care for them, but the other group of people, I mean, spoilers, they got murdered this episode to a subplot, which I still don't like, but it's like the most interesting thing in regards to like the antagonist is doing something, but it's so weird that the antagonist is a human. I guess that he didn't have the money to have like the covenant that often. So
we can't afford the actual enemies. We don't need them.
But what's so weird about that is that like the whole scene that she's involved in when she's going onto the UNSC ship is all CG because there's like these weird snake creatures, which I thought were from like a hunter. And I thought like, oh, they're just not really showing the hunter. Cause like you see a figure with like slithering, like kind of like leg type things. But then those things like take over the UNSC ship. Like, they just like swarm. So there's all these snake things swarming this ship, and it's I don't get the human girl thing.
I honestly thought it was gonna make the reveal of the flood, and it's like, oh no, this is just like, I don't know, the random tentacles, I guess, or like eels.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, so you're not. And as far as I know, they don't do anything with them. She's on the ship, and she's like, take me back. And that's it. Like, that's it.
Yep, that they go back with her. Like that whole thing with her on the ship was useless because they don't learn anything. So it's like, we have to have some sort of CG, like, we have to have some sort of action sequence because there's nothing in this entire episode.
Honestly, that was my big thing. I'm like, oh, because Master Chief, again, spends the entire episode just talking to people. So there's no big action sequence. I'm like, we got to put something in here. We've done two episodes. So they put this thing in that they're attacking a ship of people. I think they're in the first two episodes, but I don't care.
It's a very weird show. I'm weirdly liking it.
Oh no.
I don't know what I like about it.
Shouldn't you just normally like it, not weirdly like it?
No, because it's so it's like Halo, but like weird alternate reality Halo.
I will say my favorite part of this episode, though, was like Master Chief or John spends almost all of the episode out of armor. And then randomly they decide to put him in the armor at the end of the episode for him to talk to somebody. And I'm like, oh, when did that happen? Like, he's just like, I'm going to go in my armor to just like take my helmet off and talk to you. But yes, and then, I don't know, he's looking for some weird device. I don't know. And again, I mean, I don't, again, clearly I don't know enough, but I don't care for Cortana as much either. I will say I did, my actual favorite scene was the one bit of humor in this was the scene where Cortana is introducing herself to like his teammates.
Quad, yeah.
Yeah, and he's just like, AI off. Shut up, go away. I'm like, okay, I don't know if they intended for that to be humorous. I think they did, but he was so dry in it. It worked for me. I thought that was actually a really great scene.
Well, I think and the guy they have playing Master Chief, I think is actually doing a pretty good job of being this like very stoic, unemotional.
Nice piece of ass.
And his ass is shown. We see Master Chief's ass. That did happen.
That's for the 80s.
Yeah, I guess.
Why are we showing off Master Chief's ass? What
I don't know, you've shown off every other part of them, so just Might as well. I mean, there's a specific reason that he doesn't have clothes on, but I'm not sure why we needed like the pulled back version, back shot to show his ass.
Adult drama, rated M for mature.
Sure, the adult drama based on a video game. Yeah, weird show. I'm gonna continue watching it.
Of course you are. You have to. It's required.
I look forward to hearing about how it's so every week.
It is. That's it, right? It's not anything special, but...
I think to your point, Jeff, I do think they will get to a point, and probably this week, where I don't think we'll have like an update every week. I think we might save it.
I'm wondering where Earl's gonna fall off.
I think I feel it happening.
I feel the wheels coming off, Earl.
I feel like I'll stick to it for the rest of the season. But yes, it's not. It's gonna be. I don't like to use the term hate watch. It's more of a curiosity watch, because honestly at this point, I just kind of want to see if they're saving their budget for like a big final episode that's like this huge. But the thing that drives me nuts right now, again, we're 3 episodes in a 10-episode season. They got time, I guess. It's like right now there is a collision course for the main enemy and Master Chief, or the Demon's Head, or whatever they call him. But I'm not interested in that at all. So I'm curious, like, when they do get together, if there's actually chemistry in that like rivalry that they have going.
Yeah. I mean, they need to have an action sequence at some point. There has not been an actual action sequence since the first 20 minutes of the series. So, they're definitely setting it up for the Covenant and Chief to meet at some point. I don't know what you do with this human person, though. She can't go up against Chief.
Yeah. I mean, maybe she could. Maybe she has some Covenant technology in her.
I mean, she does have that that weird, like, light sword nail. Like, she has, like energy Wolverine claws. That's how she killed the captain of that ship. She like shot an energy spike out of her nail. It was weird. They don't explain that at all.
Oh no.
But that's Halo. I guess if you have Paramount Plus, go watch it, or don't.
Yeah,
you can watch Jackass. That's on there.
And the Scream franchise, so you got that going for you too.
Yeah. Some new games came. Well, a new game came out this week. Although I don't, Earl, is the game you played brand new?
Oh, it's not new at all.
Okay. So Lego Star Wars: The Skywalker Saga came out. And I'm playing that, and it's a very good Lego game, but it's also a Lego game, so. If you don't like Lego games, Jeff, stay
don't
away.
Worry. The ship has sailed for me. I'm done with that series. But my question is,
yeah,
like they did. All right, so this is like basically all the Star Wars movies, like
all nine films. Yeah.
Okay. Didn't they do that? Like, didn't they do Lego Star Wars games of all these movies?
No, not all at once.
Yeah,
and it's all at once.
Well, yeah, they did
Lego. That's the one game.
Lego Star Wars was the prequel trilogy, and then they did Lego Star Wars the original. Star Wars 2, the original classic trilogy or whatever, and then they did Lego Star Wars the complete collection, which was the prequel trilogy and then they did Lego Star Wars The Force Awakens. There's also a Lego Star Wars 3, The Clone Wars, but we'll just leave that off to the side. Then they did Lego Star Wars The Force Awakens. There wasn't one for Last Jedi or Rise of Skywalker.
But this is like an entirely original game, though, right? Like, it's not like...
This is not the old levels. This is not... Like, this is brand new from the ground up. It actually... If you remember how the old games played, they were kind of like level based. Like you had a hub world, you would walk into like Act One and play a level. Mm-hmm. This is actually playing like it's like if they did a Lego version of the movies, like it all flows straight through. There are open world sections with like side missions to do, But it, like, the story just naturally flows. There's no walk into a door and play this mission. It's like the levels that you play are kind of all seamlessly integrated. The open world stuff is like, you know, if you want to continue the story, you go to this point, but like you're, you know, you land outside of Mos Espa, you can, you'll explore that area. But then when you go to like Wadu's, you know, you go to his shop, then it like plays the cutscene for when you meet Anakin and get the pod race and all that. So I think it flows really well. It looks really nice. And it's all from the ground up.
The other thing is this one adds voice acting, right? Or because the other ones had the weird.
Yes.
Yeah.
This does. You can also do that. You can toggle the voice acting off and go back to, like, you know, the Lego gibberish. The voice acting's okay. It's not bad. They get some people that sound fairly close to the original actors. I haven't played a ton of it yet. About an hour and a half in, about halfway through the Phantom Menace portion of it. Also, you can start at any of the starts of the trilogy. So, Phantom Menace, Episode 4, A New Hope, and then The Force Awakens. But to unlock the other ones, the other movies, the other versions of that, you have to play through the first episode of each of the trilogies. There's an RPG system in it too. So like you upgrade your, there's like an overall upgrade. So like you have an overall character upgrade. So any character you're using has those upgrades, but there's also classes. So like, you know, if you're using Qui-Gon, you're a Jedi. If you're using R2, you're an astromech droid. Then there's like hero characters. And then you can slot these, you get these bricks, they're called Kyber bricks, or these blue bricks that you find. And also, in the past games, I think they were gold bricks, where you would complete a level, and if you completed the level, you got one, and if you got, like, all the, you hit the max amount of, like, chips you can find, little pieces, and you were, like, true Jedi or whatever, you would get another one. And then there's, like, other ones you can find throughout. So you have like six of those you can get just by completing levels, and then there's more scattered throughout the game. I think there's like 1,200 in total. And you use those along with the little pieces that you're getting, the bits. And they're your currency, and you can upgrade your character that way and your classes. It's interesting. I'm not sure it adds a ton, but because it's still a Lego game at heart, right? It's not super difficult. There doesn't seem to be any real penalty for dying. Like, your guy blows up and then respawns. But it looks really nice. It plays really well. Like, they've updated the animations. The shooting is better. The lightsaber handling is better. The lightsaber throw feels more like... So I saw a friend of mine on one of the Discords. He said that it felt like Kratos throwing his axe out in the new God of War. It's like that's kind of how the lightsaber works, the lightsaber throw works, and it does feel a little bit like that. It doesn't have quite as much weight, but I mean, lightsabers are light.
Games need that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a great package if you like Lego games or Star Wars. It's probably worth picking up and playing. Earl, tell us about Song for a Hero.
Song for a Hero. It's okay. So one, I was mistaken. It is not super old. It came out last summer. And, you know, I think in the last few weeks I've been on the show, I'm like, oh, I haven't played anything new or recent or anything like that. So I was, you know, like, I was perusing a YouTube video of, like, you know, 9 or 10 eShop games you should play. Oddly enough, watched a video about none of those games. But I was reading through the comments and somebody mentioned, like, this game, which is, I think the way to describe it is an interactive musical platformer. So I don't know. I think Chris might have seen some videos I posted on Twitter. The whole gimmick of this game is that the main character Moshi sings throughout the game. Mm-hmm. There are some stuff that is scripted. I mean, it's all scripted, but some of it is like them reacting to what's going on in the screen. I mean, because of that, there is some lag sometimes, not lag in the game, but like lag in the singing. But like, it's very, it's okay. So the basic premise is a basic action platformer. You move left to right. You have a sword to do attacks. You get abilities. I have a fire orb. I can turn invisible. I just got a dash attack. All that stuff, super simple, not too complicated, but, you know, it's a nice mix of combat. You fight a bunch of, you know, generic, I've fought spiders and snakes and crabs and cacti. So that stuff is, it's solid. It's not, you know, it's not going to change the world, but it's solid. But like I said, the gimmick is that this character sings while they're doing this, and they'll sing about everything. They'll sing about how ridiculous it is that, you know, they're jumping over these invisible chisms. They will sing about the fact that they're fighting snakes. The fact that the green snakes are weak. Then in the second stage, you find red snakes, which are stronger and shoot fire. And in the third stage, you find yellow snakes who have helmets, which are, again, harder. And like, oh, you know, each time they change color, which means they're more difficult. And that's something that comes in Fate later on. Every time you get a power-up, those tend to be pre-recorded, so they will stop. And he will sing about, like, you know, like, this orb didn't burn this chest, and it didn't burn me. I guess I can use it now. But where it really shines for me is, like, again, it's reactive. So, like, there's one point where I jumped, and I just completely whiffed, and I fell to my death. And he's like, I made this long jump, and I fell down, but I poofed right back up. Because, you know, like, you just go back to where you fell from. And stuff like that. So that's the stuff that is really kind of like, it's scripted for certain events, but it's not like, this is stuff that would be random. And that's how responsive the game is. Or like, if you're fighting stuff and you take too long, or if you fight stuff and it's like, you know, like it fights back often enough. So I've seen a lot of people when I post videos say they would get grading. I've been enjoying it, but I've also been taking it in small doses. I've done like maybe half an hour chunks when I do play, which is about a world, which is a world is three acts and then a boss fight. And the boss fights are really cool too. I'm not going to say they get anywhere close to the level of a Zelda game, but each one is like, each world you're introduced to a new item, and like using that item is really how you defeat the boss. So the first one is... What is the first one? The second one is an ape, and like the ape, the world where you earn invisibility, you are invisible and invulnerable. So what you do is like when they charge at you, you turn invisible, they run into a wall, and you just hit them then. So it's like, you know, earning the pattern of that. The third boss is you learn how to. It's stupid to hear this, and he does make point of fact to this, like. He didn't know how to hold his shield above his head until a magical scroll told him about it. But like, you learn how to hold your shield. And that one, you fight a crab. And that one is like, whenever it attacks from above, you put your shield up and it knocks it back into its face. And then you attack it. So yeah, I've really been enjoying it for $15 on the eShop. It's something different and fun. The core gameplay is solid. If not, you know, stuff you've seen before, but they wrapped in this package that is wholly unique. I don't know of any other kind of... Like, there are rhythm games, but this isn't that. This is a musical game.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Like, because there was another game that came out maybe a year or two ago that was like, it was similar. You know, it was a platformer, but it was also like where the actual combat was rhythm based, and so this is more like you're just playing an action platformer, but the character is like dynamically singing about what you're doing.
Think of it as Uncharted, if Drake sang. You know, it's situational. They're thinking about what's going on. Some of it is how ridiculous it is. Some of it is about, like, you know, I'm off to save this princess, and why am I doing this to save a princess I've never met and stuff like that. But yeah, it works for me. I think one of the designers behind it is actually the voice of the character. Not going to say it's the greatest singing voice in the world, but, you know, the fact that it's passable. And a lot of it, the songs tend to be very similar in tone for that reason. But a lot of it, you know, is on beat as to how the music goes. So, again, all in tow, the package works for me. I'm really enjoying it.
Visually, I think it reminds me of, like, the Wonder Boy games.
Yeah, it reminds me very much of, like, a Super Nintendo game, which...
Yeah.
I'm happy with, because, like I said, I'm over like the Pixu 8-bit art stuff that we've been seeing for the past 15 years. So going up to 16-bit helps it out for me.
Yeah, it you know, you can do a little bit more with it and do a little bit more detail when you do the faux 16-bit. So I do like that we've moved on to that. Tony, you play anything?
I've been playing the other new game that came out this week that you forgot about, which is MLB The Show.
Sorry, I forgot about baseball.
How dare you forget it's back. About baseball? It's back. And apparently baseball has started for real. This is like too much for my brain to handle. Baseball just appeared suddenly out of nowhere, even though apparently they've had an entire, like the entire preseason happened. I was not paying attention at all. They resolved the whole strike thing, and then suddenly baseball is here. But anyway,
that was pretty much the last I knew about it, was that like they were locked out and there was baseball was dead.
Yes. That's what I was curious about, is how did it just appear for you? Because even I knew about the strike and when that was over.
So I knew the strike. I knew it ended. It seemed like the preseason was just so short. Like, you never expect spring training to be over in like
Is the season even really late? Isn't this like right around when
this
it starts?
This is when it normally starts.
Yeah, yeah.
But spring training was only like 2 weeks long.
Because they wanted to get it back on track.
Yes, because they wanted people paying for like real games.
They got plenty of games to get it right.
Yeah. So once again, I'm playing MLB The Show on Xbox for free, as God intended. It still blows my mind every time I get to play this game.
Is it free again? I wasn't sure.
Yeah,
it is absolutely free. In fact, you get 10 card packs if you have Game Pass. So, you know, not only do you get to play for free, but you get all this bonus stuff that gets your if you're playing the team mode, it gets you a bunch of stuff or equipment for the Road to the Show mode. So I like Road to the Show. That's how I normally play these games. So I am a first baseman in the Red Sox minor league system. I'm playing on the dynamic difficulty, which I always kind of I don't know that I trust it in these games.
Yeah,
it fluctuates, right? It's like, oh, like you're playing well, so now we're going to up the difficulty. And
yeah, and now suddenly you can't do any of the stuff that you were good at.
It's, you know, like, yeah, you want to learn how to play one of the difficulties. Yeah, you know,
like I don't mind
which sliders are being changed on me here. Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, I almost prefer like just sliding. Like, I'm good at hitting, so we're going to put those ones a little higher. I'm bad at, you know, fielding. Or actually, the thing I've never been able to figure out in these games is base running. I find it
terrible
impossible.
At it. Yeah, it's awful.
And I don't think it's me. I think it's just it's really hard to get a sense of like where the ball is being hit and what's happening without actually being able to see it. Like, yeah, the camera angles they give you are bad. Like, especially in Road to the Show, where you're literally seeing from like the player's point of view.
Yep.
If you were looking at it through like the normal like camera angle, you'd know, oh, that's a ground ball. I have no idea if it's a ground ball or hit to the outfield or what the fuck is happening. I'm just like, oh, it was hit. I should run, and I get thrown out a lot.
I think that's because like if you're playing baseball, right? Like your eye is going to move with the ball, but when you're playing this, the camera doesn't roll to show you the hit. Like, it doesn't move naturally.
You just see the ball flying. You're like, oh, it's going. And you can't tell. Is that a ground ball? Is that hitting the air right at somebody? But if you were like standing on the field, you would know that.
Yes.
I feel like I'm always guessing. So whenever I play like the non-Road to the Show mode, I always turn the base running on auto. I'm like, I don't want to mess with that. I hate doing that. But I'll do the fielding myself. Like, even the fielding that I'm bad at, I don't mind. I can make up for that. The hitting, the pitching, I think the pitching has always been my favorite part.
Pitching is really good in that game.
It is. And, like, they've introduced, like, new ways of pitching over the years, but that meter, I love the meter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you fill it up to red, throw hard, and then you hit it when it comes back. And that just, it's a nice little, I don't know, game within the game. You're always just trying to hit the thing. It's kind of fun. But this year I'm not a pitcher, though. Normally I play as a pitcher. You could play as a two-way player, which is a thing in baseball now, but I'm playing as a first baseman, a power hitting first baseman. But like the annoying thing about playing in Road to the Show is that when you start off, your player's bad. How bad is he? Like all of his stats are at 30, which if you're a power hitting first baseman means you literally can't hit a home run. It's too far. It's too hard. And it's like that's the kind of thing about these games that has always driven me a little bit nuts. It's like I'm an NBA player. I can dunk a basketball. It doesn't matter that I'm a rookie. You're a power hitting first baseman in baseball. I get that you want the player to like develop over time, but a power hitting first baseman in Double A can hit a home run without having done any. He hit home runs in college. He hit them in high school. That's why he's in a professional baseball player.
Exactly. That was why he was drafted, and that's why he's been signed to a contract.
But my player here cannot hit a home run. He's got to earn it. He's got to play like, you know, 80 games of baseball in order to get his stats up high enough for him to get the ball over the fence.
So question on that. It's like you said, you're power hitting first baseman. Is it still set up where it's like when you pick your position, it's like this is what we expect of you. So like you could be like a power hitting first baseman. You could be like a defensive second baseman.
Yes. Yeah.
Or a contact. That frustrates me a little bit because like I played second base last year. I did the switch thing where it was like you play both positions.
Mm-hmm.
And I never got called up because the way I developed my guy as I played was I turned into a power hitting second baseman.
we don't need that.
Right. And like, so they never called me up and like, I'm leading the, you know, minors in strikeouts and they're just like, no, you need to keep working harder. Like I'm literally leading the league in hitting, home runs and RBIs, strikeouts. What more can I do? You're not calling me up. I hate this game.
Yeah. I think the other problem with like baseball as this kind of game, you fail a lot in baseball. Like the game is literally about failure. Yep. And like, I don't want to fail that much when I'm playing a video game. I want to succeed most of the time.
Yeah, like good baseball players fail 70% of the time.
Yeah. So like I don't know. I always feel bad like when I'm playing basketball, for instance, and my player's making like 70% of his shots. Like, can't really do that in a baseball game. There's too much like math involved in like did you swing at the right time? Where was the ball? How fast was it moving? And the game factors all that in and sends the ball to the right place. I'm like, I just want to swing and hit home runs.
They need to bring back Slugfest.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. Arcade baseball. What we need.
Yeah. Not that this game's, I mean, it looks fantastic.
It's plays awesome. Really well. It's like,
I'm making fun of it because I just like to hit the ball out of the ballpark and can't. Because
I think most of your problems would be like solved by playing how I play. Just play a season as your team. Like,
yeah.
That was the. I think you played that mode last year. I don't know if it's in this one, the Diamond Dynasty or whatever. Like it was like it was March to October, right? Which was
like and you could do condensed version. Like
yeah, like I thought that was pretty cool because then it's like you don't have to play 160 games.
I think you can.
You can.
I don't think you have to. Yeah.
But you can do like the condensed version where it's like we're just going to give you like key moments.
That's literally season. All you want out of a sports game. Like I don't. Outside of like golf, like I don't want to do any of the shit that you guys like to do. Like I don't want to like play as a player. Like I just want to play a game of baseball. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think that mode is really fun. Like
MLB The Show, kind of. I think as a sports game, might offer the most like out there. So it has something for everybody.
Yeah. No matter how you want to play
deep
it,
game.
Play
yeah. It.
And the fact that it's so customizable in terms of how you can play it, like I don't like to hit like that. I like to hit like this instead.
Yeah.
There's like a bunch of different hitting modes. I don't like to pitch like that. I like to pitch by like this. Like it, that kind of experience is really awesome.
All right. Well, that's out there.
Did Game Pass play for free?
Free if you have Xbox, suckers.
And I think MLB The Show 21 is leaving Game Pass.
Yes.
So go play the new one.
I mean, I don't understand. Like, of course it leaves Game Pass. I don't understand.
Yeah, there's no reason to go and play 21 if... I mean, if you play the new one for free. Yeah. Although that would be nice if... I don't think Madden doesn't do it anymore either, but used to be able to kind of like transfer your character over.
Yeah.
I think that was more NCAA to Madden, but which I always thought was cool, right? You could play, 4 years of college football and then transfer that into Madden and continue your player's career there. But whatever, they want you to buy it every year and play 20 years, get into the Hall of Fame. It's not how we play games, but play anything else, Tony?
No, just a lot of baseball.
Wasn't sure if you played that was it Panzer?
Panzer Corps, it's not quite yet out. Panzer Corps 2 will be on Game Pass next week. And so I'll have a full report on the exit of the game I think I already own on Steam. But
Jeff, we have a special request for you to tell us about your Vampire Elden Ring quickest playthrough
that you've done yet. Yeah, I haven't gotten to talk about Elden Ring yet.
Yeah, not at all. You've never talked about Elden Ring on that show.
Yeah. It's, I think we may have discussed this a little bit last week about how I was doing like a vampire build.
Yes, you explained kind of like how it was set up that you needed certain equipment.
And was that on the show that I explained all that?
That's a good question. I don't remember.
Either way.
We have talked about it. I don't know if we've talked about it.
I should at least set up what the build is probably better than I did anyways. It's very simple. Like, certain items will do bleed damage, and that like is a separate meter that will fill up. So like you're attacking someone, you're hurting them, you're taking away from their health bar, but then they will have like a meter building up, like this red meter, and when that fills up all the way, it does blood damage, which is just it just takes another huge chunk of health off on top of that at once, right? Think of like, you know, you've played other games like in the series, like Poison. Like if the poison meter will slowly build up, and if that gets filled, then you're poisoned, and then like your health will slowly drain no matter what.
Right.
But this is just like blood damage. It's just like that meter fills up, and it's just like bam! Here's a huge chunk took off. Right. So I made a prophet, which is like the faith based. Kind of magic character, and only focused on things that did bleed damage, like, you know, there's a katana called the Rivers of Blood, and then like attached, you know, things to myself that would kind of like work alongside, like every time you kill an enemy, it fills up your health a little bit. Like that's like a talisman you could get, like, you know, think like a ring that you could wear, and you know, so you got other things going on top of this bleed damage. And that's the vampire class I was like trying to do. And I found that someone's going to do this, and if they're going to like do a prophet class playthrough, which is like the type of character I started with, I find the prophet class to be a little weak. Early on in the game, like their spells are not as good as the regular magic, like the astrologer.
And could you do the same type of build with like the astrologer or a different class?
I think the prophet has the most stuff that has bleed damage, but you could do like a dexterity build. Which is just like being really fast at using like really fast weapons, like, you know, katana, or, I don't know.
Right.
Trying to think of what a fast weapon is, like, you know, short little like knives, like daggers,
lightweight weapon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like you could do like if you wanted to, you could do I think one of the classes samurai. You could play as a samurai, focus on dexterity, and just get weapons that do bleed damage. So you could do a different type of bleed build than I did. I was doing like a mix of that and magic based. And so here's one thing I could say about the prophet class blood damage thing is like, so the prophet class has like spells that will do bleed damage, and there's one called Swarm of Flies, and it's actually located near the end of the game, but you can like get there early on, like find the spell. And so like the Swarm of Flies is extremely, I think, awesome spell, and like, I don't know, most like if you're playing as the regular magic class, like most spells are like, they act like bullets or like laser beams where they shoot like a straight line. You think of a swarm of flies, they'll chase you wherever, right? So like if you shoot at a boss and he moves around on you, if you're using like a normal like laser beam type thing, like it's just gonna miss him. The swarm of flies will just chase the fucking boss forever, and these swarm of flies do bleed damage, and it's fucking glorious. So as you get deep in the game as this type of class, like you get pretty powerful, and like you just like really rip huge chunks off a boss at a time. There's a catch though, because bleed damage only works on enemies who have blood inside them. So if you
damage skeleton,
yeah, if you have a boss who's like made of stone or something, right? Like it's not gonna do anything at all. Like you go from being like the most powerful class ever to being very weak. So it's a great class that is overpowered, but like there come situations, maybe 10% of bosses or 10% of enemies where it's like you're worthless. Sucks. And like I guess the final like footnote on that being that the fucking final boss in the game is immune to blood damage. So you've so gone from being, yeah,
your super build just doesn't work.
Just absolute shit. I just got somebody to help me with the final boss. I was like, fuck this. Like there was no way. And I wanted to actually like see how the game felt playing as this, like have this class with having all these like spells and shit early on in the game. So like it's the first class I'm going to take in the new game plus. And like, in order to do so, you have to beat the final boss. So I'm like, all right, somebody just come out, fucking help me, because I can't do fucking dick to this guy. But yeah, that's for Sean by there. That's my vampire build bleed damage playthrough.
And you've cut the playtime down to under 40 hours.
Oh yeah, now. Like, well, like the thing is like you got to remember. First off, the first time you're playing the game, you don't know anything. Like it's all learning. But you know, this time I think I skipped the most side quests. So like you think of like Skyrim, it's like if you don't do the Dark Brotherhood or whatever, you know what I mean? That's like a huge multi-hour quest. You know, this is
right.
The same thing. So it's like I know the critical path now in my head. Like I know I got to kill these bosses, like this dozen or so bosses to beat the game.
Yeah, and I mean, you still ended up pretty high level by the end of it.
Yeah. Well, and that's like the trick. It's like if you guys ever get this game, have me give you some tips, because like very early on, you could get to this like late game area. Like you kind of like warp to this late game area, and it's just like a cliffside full of these enemies that are just sitting there sleeping, and they're like huge amount of XP for killing them. So like if you go in there early on, if you like run through this cliffside and kill these like 10 enemies, you're gonna level up like 6 times off of just like 2 minutes of play. You know what I mean?
Right.
So now that like, you know, I didn't know about this cliffside until 70 or 80 hours into my first playthrough of the game. Right. Now that I know about it, I go there right as soon as I fucking can. And I make myself overpowered for the early areas. So that cuts a huge amount of time off of you, because like you don't really have to explore caves and such after that. Like you just be like, all right, I'll go to this cliffside, level up enough, go fight the next boss that I know I could, like, you know. I know if I'm at this level, I'll be able to kill him. So yeah,
then you can start pushing forward.
Yeah. So I was looking at it earlier today. I think my first playthrough was around 120 hours, and this playthrough is like 35 hours. Like, it's just like you shave off a lot each time.
Jeff's gonna be coming at us with a sub 25 hour playthrough at some point.
Like, I
one of those hour speed runs. Yeah. So I don't think so.
I found the warp point, and I can beat the final boss in 5 minutes now.
I think I'm at the point now where I want to like explore the world, new game plus with this character, and I think that might be it. And I'll just, you know, I'll keep all my characters around for at any point if someone wants me to like come help with the boss. Other than that, I think this is my last. I think the fourth playthrough will be my last. You know, for like a.
A little bit.
I look forward to September where Jeff is like, I'm on my
just like, I got a beard. I'm fucking my toenails are fucking foot long.
Played every class.
Yeah.
Melissa left 3 months ago.
No, it'll be what's her name left 3 months ago. That'll be what's
her name. She doesn't even remember anymore.
I'm maidenless.
Praise the sun.
I do think, I don't even know if I'll get through this fourth playthrough. Like, it's a game I'll play again for sure. Like, you know, I'm a person that replays games to begin with. You know, every couple of years I'll replay certain games. So I will replay this again, but I think this might be the last. I think this might be it off the first initial run of it.
Last hurrah for a little bit. I mean, you've been playing it for 2 months now, so.
Yeah. Melissa asked me the other day, she's like, when are you going to stop fucking playing this game? I said, Elden Ring 2. This game is a huge hit, so I'm sure that, like, that's going to be the next thing they do, I bet, right? Like,
Although I did hear, who's the Wheel of, the guy who filled in for the Wheel of Time guy, because the Wheel of Time guy died, but.
Sanderson, Brandon Sanderson.
Yeah, I heard that he is maybe working with them to do something. Maybe not Elden Ring 2, but another new.
They seem to really want to like keep making the same type of games, but are like they seem kind of against sequels a little bit. Despite doing 3, you know, Dark Souls games, it's like, no, this one's called Elden Ring. Like, they could have easily called this Dark Souls 4. You know what I mean? Like, it's not really anything.
I mean, and their storytelling is so obtuse that like it's like George R. R. Martin may have like helped write, you know, create the world for this, but like, is it real? Like, his prose isn't really there. So
like, there is a lot more, I'd say, narratively to this one that's like on the surface compared to the other ones, but it's still very much the same style where it's like you have to seek it out and care about it. To like really piece it all together.
Right.
I just like the vibes of the games. Like, it doesn't matter to me. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm talking to this fucking turtle who's a pope now, and he's telling me about the fucking history of, you know, this couple or whatever. Like, all right, I really don't know or care what's going on, but I just like the whole vibe of this world. Something bad has happened. You know what I mean? That's just.
And I mean, if a giant turtle is the pope, bad shit's gone down.
Yeah. Well, he's I want to say like the game might be about a marriage that went bad. You could talk to someone who actually pays attention to shit in games and they would be able to tell you probably.
I'm sure there's probably a YouTube lore video that's 4 hours long that explains everything.
But yeah, you do find like this Church of Vows at some point, and that turtle's in there and he starts telling you about like some of like the big bosses. And I'm like, oh, this might be what the main story is. Maybe. I don't know. Don't care really, but cool vibes. I'm in this horrible fallen land.
Tarnished people.
Chris, I did play another game.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Remember I talked about Yoshi, that Yoshi game?
Yeah. Crafted World?
Yeah, I might have said really mean things about it, I think, right? Like
You did. You did not like it. It's boring. Yeah. Yep, you said that. Mm-hmm.
I got to play it a little bit more. I got to play it with Melissa, so we played two-player. And I thought the game was a lot more fun playing with two people. So I don't know if you ever did when you played through, or you just did it solo.
I probably played a couple levels with my kids, but I don't think we did like a lot together with it.
I don't know. It made it, like, to me, like, worth playing. Like, it made it fun. Like,
co-op does that.
Yeah, and it's just like that type of like ultra kind of easy, like laid back thing worked mm-hmm. well with like the chaos of trying to play a game like that with two people. Like, it just works. You know, we're trying to get through the level and she's just constantly eating me as Yoshi, like accidentally hitting the button and, you know, shooting her tongue out and eating me. I'm like, please stop doing that. Or like, you know, when you're playing two player, you could accidentally like jump on top of each other and ride each other. Like one Yoshi
rides the other. Wait, what happened in this game? What is going on?
The whole thing sounds so wrong. She's eating you. She's riding you.
So yeah, it made it a lot more fun. You still have to learn to do it by yourself. You know what I mean?
I'm sure it is.
And also, I think also part of it is that, like, the levels I played solo by myself is, you know, they're like the introductory levels. So, like, I think that the puzzles and like the level design get more interesting as it goes.
They get a little more interesting. Yeah. At some point, you're going to turn around and have to go back.
Yeah, that's happened a bunch already. I think that's like a recurring thing in it, right? Like,
yeah, like where you play the level in reverse.
Yeah, like it'll flip on you as you're playing the level. Yeah,
and I think visually, I think it's pretty cool because it's the back of, like, because everything is like cardboard based. Yeah, so
you see the back of the diorama or whatever.
It's like tape holding the shit up, but it's pretty neat looking. I thought, like, visually, I think the game is actually really cool.
So I don't want to like give my final verdict on it one way or another, but you know. I felt like I was pretty harsh in my initial impressions on it, and now I'm like, it's kind of cool, to the point where I'm like, you know, we only played it once, and we played through like four or five levels, but I'm like, you know, we should play that Yoshi game again. Like, I keep saying that, and then she's like, I'm going to the bedroom to watch TV, and I'm like, I'm playing Elden Ring. But yeah, I do want to play. I do want to fucking play more of that game.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it.
It's not bad.
I started Hot Wheels Unleashed.
Yeah.
That game is fun. Yeah. Like, visually, like, it's exactly what you expect, right? It's giant Hot Wheels tracks set up in like offices and like dorm rooms and basements. And it's just like the actual toy tracks throughout the areas. And then you're playing as a bunch of, you know, cars and stuff that a lot of them are themed. A lot of, like, there's Ninja Turtle cars, there's DC cars, there's a Barbie truck. Like, a lot of them are like licensed cars that you can play as, plus as like normal cars as well. Like, they're, you know, Mustangs and Corvettes and like the normal cars you expect. It's like you're playing with actual toys, but they're built up like you're playing from behind. They look really good. The wheels are that, like if you've ever held a Hot Wheel car, right, there's no tread on them. They're just that smooth look. So, like, that's what they look like up close. And it plays like an arcade racer. It's just really fun. I think the
where you can fly off the track really easy.
Yeah, like that. That's
like, you can feel the lightweightness of the car toys. You know what I mean? Like, they feel like toys that are going around a track.
Yeah, like if you don't hit a jump the right way, you can very easily end up somewhere else. But it
I think that's what differentiates it, though. Like, that's what makes it feel like, because it's very basic arcade racer outside of that.
Yep.
Like, there's not, it's like, what, drifting and like speed boosts?
There's a drift around. Yeah. You drift, that builds your boost, and then you can boost. Like, that's it.
But it has a little different feel, and I do think, like, the car models, like, the graphics are kind of impressive for what it is.
Yeah, it looks really good. Yeah, like the in-air stuff, like, you can actually control your car.
Mm.
In air, so like you could flip, I guess, and
or hit reset immediately.
Yep, that's nice. Like, right? It's not a rewind, But actually, I think it works well enough, because then, like, you're always kind of feel like the race is, like, when you can rewind, like, you can just make it so, like, you never make a mistake.
Yeah.
But when you know, with this, like, you can fly off the track, but then, like, you have to hold Y. It does it pretty quickly, get you back on the track, but, like, you may have been passed at that point.
You are penalized at that point. You've lost distance. You
know, but it's not, like, super...
It's how it should be. It should not be that you get stuck on a bush and then the race is fucked.
Yeah.
And it should, you know, I mean, the rewind thing is neat in Forza and maybe necessary to Forza for how technical it feels. But this is like how I like it. It's like, yeah, there's a little bit of penalty, but you could eat, like, you could snap yourself back onto the track pretty good, you know? Yep. Like,
I haven't played with, like, the track building yet, and I'm only a little ways into, like, the campaign. I don't necessarily like how the campaign is laid out. It's like a map with, like, points on it.
Like Super Mario World-ish or something.
Yeah. And there's only, there's tons of different tracks, but they're all in the, like, four or five different areas that they have. So, like, it doesn't really feel that different. But yeah, I think it's really cool. I bought the, I think it's called the Racing Pass or Racing Season, whatever it is. It's 50 levels. Basically, you go in and you know, every time you race, you'll earn, you know, experience towards, it's like a battle pass. You'll earn points towards, and they have daily challenges to do, which will give you more money and more gear, like these little gear chips that you can use to upgrade your cars. That seems to be like the quickest way to earn that, because you earn like very minimal amounts by doing the campaign stuff. But it's fun. It's really fun, really well put together game. I'm kind of sad that I did not jump into it when I bought it last year, but if you can get it on sale, probably very, very much worth it.
I actually have nothing bad to say about it. Like, I just always feel bad that I didn't play it enough.
I'm gonna play through the campaign or whatever. I do need to find a way to. So, like, there's different modes. There's races, and then there's time trials and something else. There's like boss fights. I haven't done any of those, but the time trials that I've tried, and it might just be my cars just aren't good enough, or I'm not using the right car yet, but I'm like keep missing the unleashed section, which is like the ultimate, like there's goals that you hit in the time trials.
Yeah.
So like I can complete it to unlock the next node on the map, but like I'm like a second or two behind the actual completing all the challenges.
The S rank.
Basically, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'll see. I'm getting all those gear chips now through the battle pass or whatever, so maybe I'll be able to upgrade my car and come back with the ones that I like. I've been using the Nightwing car, which is like, it looks like a Batmobile, but with like Nightwing's blue on it. And it drives really well. It's fast. The other one I was using was an Aston Martin. It does not say that it's a Bond car, but it very much looked like a Bond car. So, game's cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
And Earl, speaking of licensed games, or I don't know if you want to talk about it. You said you might save it, but
I could Aliens talk about Fire it. Team. Aliens Fire Team. I mean. I am going to say the same thing I've said about a lot of games. I mean, games we've played, Zombie Army, what else was there? World War Z, not Back for Blood, because that's not so fun. Rainbow Six Extraction. Is that, you know, the pandemic, as it continues to go on, it's always great to find co-op games to play with friends. And I was getting tired of Rainbow Six Extraction. I think it's fun. But it's not, it's because it's mission based. It's no real story. Like, there is connective tissues, but you're just going through missions and just running them at higher difficulties. I wanted something with like a feel to it. So I was like, yeah, you know, we have three players. This is three players. Let's check this out. And I have to say, I'm really digging it so far. I think what works more than some of those other games, because a lot of them, Back 4 Blood, World War Z, Zombie Army, is zombies, you know, they're special zombies and stuff, but it's still like these slow moving creatures that are just lumbering towards you or something like that.
Yeah.
Where Aliens, it has kind of that horror tinge to it, in that like you're in like spaces and they will pop out from under a hatch or like a vent or something like that. So you're always kind of on alert. Granted, it's not like a horror game. Like, it's not like they're not trying to scare you. They are going to run up on you and attack you. But it is kind of nice to kind of see, like, you're on this ship with this atmosphere and, like, grates will fall and nothing will pop out. Or you might hear a noise and, like, nothing's around there. But you're kind of on edge. You're going through there. And, like, a lot of these modern games, you know, you have classes. So I'm a tactician right now, which means that I have, like, a gun turret. I have, like, shock grenades and a shotgun. And stuff, and then my friend's a medic, which means, you know, like they have like a healing aura that they can drop down and fill people up. And I actually don't remember what my other friend does, but like, yeah, you know, each team kind of feeds into each other and gives it a certain sense of synergy. I like that, you know, like for the most part, you have the normal xenomorphs, and then they, you know, like there's acid xenomorph, and I know xenomorphs already spit acid, but there are some that, like, when you kill them, they will explode, and like. So you kind of still get some of that special zombie stuff from those other games. But again, the xenomorphs are much more nimble. You know, like you will see them crawl out of stuff. You will see them crawling on roofs. They will drop down on top of you. They will swarm the hell out of you. There are some like giant ones that will like attack and pounce on you. So yeah, I think the only reason I wanted to hold off, it's really played like the first, I don't know, three missions or so. So I want to get a better feel of it. But so far, I'm really digging it. My one downside really right now is like I said, we played three missions. I think in those three missions, we leveled up once. And this is starting from level one, which tends to be like one of the slower, like the faster progressions to get you into the game. So I don't know if they just kind of really curtail you to make sure that you play the game over and over again, or if it's something as you go and get, I don't know, better gear and better equipment and stuff that you can add to it, that it gives you more XP. Right now, it's being very selfish because like, I mean, like, I think they give you counts. Like, there's levels where you mow down, I think, combined 500-600 xenomorphs. Like, I feel like that should give me a decent amount of XP.
Yeah, I don't remember. I've played through it. I don't remember exactly how the. I thought the leveling was slow on it, but.
Yes, and that's what it feels like. So, it's kind of disappointing to hear that's how it continues.
Yeah, I don't think it ever speeds up. But I never felt like I never felt I was overpowered, but I also never felt like I was underleveled for it either.
No, and I mean, honestly speaking, I feel like right now my big issue is like the weapons aren't balanced, because it almost makes more sense for me to, like, you get two weapons and you get a pistol that I assume is unlimited ammo in case you run out. And I pretty much just stick to my shotgun. There's really no reason to switch to any other weapon. It does so much damage. So I'm hoping that as it goes on, that they also balance the weapons better. So it makes sense to have two of them that's doing something else other than like, oh, my other one's out of ammo. And the one good thing it does that I think some of these other games don't is like the ammo restock is unlimited. So it's not like, oh no, we used it once, we can't use it again. It's like, no. You could hang out here for.
Yeah. You can just go up and keep getting it.
Yeah. And usually, when there's a big fight, they are kind enough to usually give you like those crates. But like, I don't know. Again, I don't know if that will continue later on. But they'll give you crates for what they call consumables, which is a really odd term for like. I mean, I guess, but like, I think a consumable in video games is like, oh, this is like a quick health pack or something like that. Here, they're like, electric turret is a consumable. I'm like, that's not necessarily what I think. But they're using it as like one-time use items. But they're usually really good at like giving you at least one of them when you're going to get into a big scuffle to set up. And yeah, like, there were times yesterday, because if you save them, you get to keep, you know, they don't take it away. So there was a time yesterday where I think we had something like six turrets going, and like the xenomorphs are just coming and just getting gunned down in every which direction, and we're just kind of picking up the stragglers who make it through the defense. So again, a really ton of fun, and I think they do a good job with license. So
Yeah, I think if you like the license at all, like it has some cool story bits and lore that tie into like Prometheus and Alien Covenant. Like it ties in through all of the different properties, the different movies and stuff that they've done with. All right, so that's what we've been playing. There was a little bit of news. Earl put some news down here.
I'll give you $20 per headline.
$20 per headline?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. We only have like three, so well, is that so per person or
per article? Per article you write about this. I'll give you $20.
Oh, the IGN.
Oh, for IGN.
Oh, topical.
Topical. It is topical. Because that was a big.
Yeah, I think it's the biggest story of the week because it's just so fucking funny. I mean, not funny.
I don't know if it's funny, but yeah, it's like
it's a little bit.
Because yeah, I mean, it's not like IGN can afford to pay more than that.
Well, part of it. I mean, it isn't like it's incredible, but like part of it is like. When I saw that, I was like, what do people think these people make? Like, journalism in general is not like a lucrative job. Like,
it isn't, but I think
outside of IGN, anywhere, like, unless you like are like a writer who people know your name from like the New York Times, and even those people, they're not like making millions of dollars a year or anything. Like, you know, it's not.
But I also don't think they're making $20 per article.
No, they're not, but a lot of. They're making more or the same as a lot of people that work in like any sort of newspaper or anything like that, right? But they unfortunately live somewhere where like I don't know how they live there. I mean, right. I know how they live
it's
there.
It's like
they
the most expensive place in the country.
They all live together, like in one fucking.
Well,
place.
I mean that used to be the case. I don't like. I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like I remember listening to, you know, like one of the godfathers of video game podcasting, like one up yours. And I got it, you know, that was the podcast from like the EGM and PSM staff. And like they would talk about like, yeah, when they moved out there, like four or five of them would live in an apartment together. Yeah. And it was one of the things where I'm like, it's one of the reasons, aside from being back, that I just never wanted to get into the game industry in that capacity because there's just so much sacrificing that people. And you need like, it's people. And at the time, I think it was San Francisco. It's not even like LA, it's like San Francisco. And I think Game Informer was headquartered in Minnesota until they moved. Those were like the big two locations. I think New York had some stuff, and that a lot of that got absorbed really quickly.
I think Vice is there now, Vice Gaming. But that's it.
And I think Giant Bomb, I don't know if Giant Bomb East still exists or.
It does not.
Okay. But yes, it's like, but yeah. And it makes some sense because like a lot of the game companies are situated in the West. If they're not situated in the West, Japan, like since Japan is closer to the West Coast than it is the East Coast. Like if you have to fly for like Tokyo Gaming Show or Space World, it made more sense if I was on the West Coast. But yeah, it is a very. It's why you can get away with $20 per article because the people you bring in are passionate, which also means they're, I don't want to say gullible.
Stupid.
I understand it completely. Like, there was a time I wanted to be, you know, get in that industry and all of that, and like. The amount of money I'm making wasn't even like what I was thinking about at all. Like it was just doing just something that doing I loved. Like, yeah,
and that's
yeah.
And that's exactly what they throw in. It's like it's why, you know, like you see a lot of people who outside of like veterans, a lot of people who are in gaming tend to be in like their 20s. It's like the people who, you know, they're not married, they don't have kids, they're gonna do it because they love it. And as they start getting old and they start having to, you know, they have a wife, they get a kid, they start moving on to like a producer in a game company or something like that, and not on the journalism side anymore. Because it doesn't pay the bills.
Also, I mean, I hate to like be playing like both sides of like, It's just funny to me that like some of this stuff is like shot like people like were like, oh my god, like, you know. But the other thing I was thinking is like when they're saying like $20 per article, like some of those articles are literally like you're reformatting a press release. You do it in like 5 minutes. Like IGN is basically video game PR, like at this point. Like,
well, a lot of their news stories are exactly that, and they're there to just so that they can continue to tweet out articles and put them on Facebook, and so they're continuously putting content up and hitting the, you know, whatever the algorithm is that needs to get it for them to stay at the top.
So like, you know, it sounds bad to say like $20 per article, but like that quote unquote article, like literally could have been someone's like 5 minutes of time. So it's like,
well, I mean,
how much are you going to value like this awful fucking garbage writing to begin with?
But I think that's a double edged sword, because
I see it both ways, you know.
Yeah, if you're paying me $20, I'm not putting any effort into it.
Well, I mean, there's only so much effort you could put into like.
Yes, and that is
the release date has been announced for, you know.
Yes,
okay, you know.
And I will be the first one. I complain about that. I don't need an article if you can. If your article can fit in a tweet, it does not need to be an article.
Hey, when I look up how to do something in a game, and there's like a fucking page of preamble, like I'm like, dude, you don't need to like tell. A lot of players have been saying this about this game. And it's like, dude, just tell me what button I have to fucking hit here to do what I'm trying to do. Like, why is this an article?
Like, but I mean, I say that with a lot. Like, you know, you go on and it's like, you know, BuzzFeed or like a lot of them are just like they scour Twitter and like get reactions and then screenshot them and add them. And yeah, this is what, this happened today. And this is what the internet said about it. Like,
but
that's not an article. That's like,
I do think like, you know, journalists across the board though are also paid way too low. Like the thing that really makes me laugh is like, the IGN editor that posted this originally, she had like a follow-up tweet like, no, it's a sliding scale, like if you do an in-depth article you can make up to $300. I'm like, oh, so for like weeks of fucking research, like doing an actual like an investigative journalism like report, that's $300? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I will spend the 5 minutes writing that article for $20 and I will write you 30 of them.
Yeah.
Instead, and that then I don't have to spend weeks like researching something for $300.
Like, you know, something like an actual good piece of like investigative journalism could take minimum multiple weeks, you know, 2-3 weeks minimum. And just say you could get grand prize $300, do something amazing here. Okay,
yeah, I am so glad that I like dodged that bullet.
I'm just I was like. In a way, yeah. I'm like, happy it didn't work out for me because that sounds terrible.
I mean, I interviewed with IGN, and I'm so glad that they were like, no, not at this time. We don't need any reviewers. Like, yep. I am better off.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, except at that point, I was already married, already had two kids, like, would have to, like, uproot, move to San Francisco.
Yeah. And again, it's not worth it for people who have a family. Like, you don't make enough, and San Francisco rent isn't cheap. And again, like, I mean, I guess to the point, like, you know, like, it's also weird because it's like, especially in this day and age, if you're just doing articles, why do you need to live in San Francisco? Like, I get that you want to go to these hands-on events and stuff like that, but again, but yes, and the other thing is, like, you know, like, I assume people like Pierre and Fran aren't making $20. Like, they have contracts and stuff.
What I really wanted to add in here is, like, I wonder, like, what someone like Brian Altano makes. You know what I mean? Like,
he's been there a while.
What's his base salary? You know what I mean?
They make money, but again, I'm not going to assume.
Like, what's money, though? 100 grand a year?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. I assume, like, if you've been. Well, I'm not going to assume that, but I assume even what cost of living, like, Brian's different because Brian's been back and forth. I imagine he's been able to negotiate higher rates. But someone like Fran and Pierre, who have been there since
Pierre like runs shit. Like, yeah, you know, he makes, yeah, I'm sure Pierre makes money, but like
Pierre's been there since the beginning, right? Like,
yeah. And he, I want to say he's like a higher up, like,
yeah, I think he's,
like, he's the president,
he's
something.
He's an executive,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure he makes, yeah. Also, I wonder what he makes, but I really wonder, like, what their big quote unquote personalities at IGN, like, make. Like, the people, like, you know, who have screen presence, who have been there a while, versus someone that, you know, is writing an article about some game no one gives a shit about and they get $20. Like, that's, it could be anybody.
Yeah, there's the, and I mean, I'm sure that people do know people at IGN, but I am well past knowing who the personalities are there anymore.
It's so generic, and you could insert anybody into it. Like,
I will say that, to Chris's point, is that for me, a lot of it became, I just don't follow personalities that way, because most of my gaming news is filtered through Twitter, and if I want to, more forums, I still am part of Reset Error or Reset or whatever. So it's like, back in the olden days when I was an active part of the IGN forums, and you knew the characters, you knew the personalities, I think what happened was that, like, everything became personality-driven, which in some ways just kind of made it so that nobody stood out, because that was one of the reasons why Giant Bomb was such a big refreshing thing when it came, was that they were in front of the camera. They were the people you got to know.
Well, they also have personalities versus... I'm sorry, dude. Like, the IGN stable is like, what is this, dude? Their reviews, IGN, like, their voices are grating to me. Like, I'm...
IGN, hey, you know, you
guys could do that. Like, what the fuck is this corporate shit? It sounds like corporate... Sorry.
Because, like,
a little mini rant thing.
IGN did have personalities, so, like, you know, Hillary Goldstein and...
Yeah, and, back when I was, like, into that site. Definitely. Yeah.
And I mean, like, Greg, like, I'm not a Greg Miller fan, but, like, he is certainly a well-known personality in the industry. But that was all back, you know, like,
years
what?
Ago.
Yeah.
Right? Like, 10 years ago.
Are, like, completely sanitized, corporate, afraid to say anything. No personality. There's just no... It's just... Well,
I mean, part of that, though, is like a decade of like people who voiced opinions just being let go. And it's like,
or leaving.
Unless you were one of those rare people who could find that huge following.
Right.
I would also say the other thing is that, for better or worse, people don't want personalities. Like, you see it every time reviews come up. Oh, I can't believe this review is said. This is review. People just want people to regurgitate their opinions and their thoughts. And
just, I want a fucking critic who can, like, write and who like sounds like somebody, like they have a point of view. And like, IGN's reviews don't feel like it comes from a point of view. It's very,
I think some of that comes back to,
I get what Earl's saying, though.
Nobody stays in the industry Greg had a point of view. I might not have agreed with it, but like the guys they have now, they don't stick around long enough to actually have any experience. So they're giving you the point of view of like a 25-year-old kid.
So as we get older, I get more bitter about some of the dumb shit I see in criticism. I'm like, do you not know history?
I was
you remember the N64.
But no, they wouldn't know the N64.
No, they don't. Exactly. Their like, first game was like
when they were Halo 3.
Yes. I mean, I think that's part of getting older, is like understanding that. Like, there's times where it's like, some of it is like, yeah, you could do some basic internet research. It's not that hard to Google something. But other parts, it's like, yeah, there are going to be people who, I mean, there are a lot of people who don't have our experiences. Like, a lot of people who were not, like, they're, like you said, like, people who were born after the N64 graduated college now.
It blows my mind to talk to, you know, my girlfriend's daughter. She's an adult. Like, she's in her 20s. She doesn't remember 9/11. Like, that's not a thing. Like, to her, that's like, that might as well be like Vietnam to us. Like, it's just like, yeah, I've heard of it. I saw it in movies. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and it's
that's how fucking old we are, dude. I don't like it.
I mean, it is how age works. It is very fascinating. Like, it Again, I mean, I hate using 9/11 as a benchmark, but like the fact of the matter is, like, you think about the people born that year are now seniors in college, and they are growing up in a world that they don't know the world before 9/11. Like, yeah. I think, you know, like, everybody jokes whenever, you know, Christmas time and Home Alone comes around. You always see the jokes on Twitter, like, oh, the thing that's aged the worst about Home Alone is, like, you can't just go through an airport anymore. But it's like, yeah. There are people who kind of grew up in that time where it's like, oh, yeah, you went to an airport. You just kind of went to your gate and your family and people would drop you off. You can think of all those 80s movies that ended with somebody rushing to the airport to say, to confess their up. You can't do that anymore. You got to go through half an hour security.
Damn it. Love isn't worth it anymore. Just don't do it.
So,
I don't know if that's where we're going.
$20.
Point being,
don't get into the video game journalism industry.
Also, that
you also are our own. We have to embrace that because yeah, it's gonna get to a point where like I mean, it is a point now. Where,
this
like,
is gonna be old at one point. Whatever yeah. happened right now is gonna be old. Think about that.
Yeah, my I mean, Lord. I was,
that's actually, how time works, Jeff. It only goes in one direction.
I actually said that to my friend when I went up on my birthday on this week, and he's like, oh, you're getting old. I'm like, yes, but every time you see me, I'm older than the last time you saw me, so I'm always aging, which it is. Like, the moment we just talked about passed. That was 5 minutes ago. We're over it. But yes, I was going to say, like, we're getting to the point now where like, people who are coming up in the industry, Sega's been a publisher to them. Like, they're not, they've never been a console developer.
But it's wild though to like read writing from someone who's like paid to write about video games and like they'll be ignorant of things like that sometimes. You're just like,
No, it isn't though. It's like saying that, like, oh, you know, like people didn't watch movies from the 30s. Like, there's a point where it's like,
I feel like if you're a film critic, you should like not know everything. You should like go back and watch the classics and have some sort of sense of the history.
At what point though are there too many classics to watch?
No, yeah, you'll never get to all of them. You'll never get to all of them, but like
I think for
some bearings, like, yeah,
for them, classics are different too, right? Like,
yes,
it's like we look at it and go, you know, like The Godfather and Chinatown and Taxi Driver and stuff like that are classics. They're looking at it like two decades past that or three decades past that. Like,
I mean, call it a spade a spade. I'm sure we all know people. I know people who don't refuse to watch black and white movies.
Yeah, for sure. And early video games are like very primitive and like not even fun to me to play a lot of them.
Yeah,
you know
I think
what we've
had
they
this
really are.
I think
old movie can still be really great. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think we've had this discussion around like Super Mario.
But you need to know. You need to have the foundation, you know?
But the foundation is different for people. Like who's to say like if your foundation is like Halo and GTA 3 and Metal Gear Solid 2 is any less valid than if your foundation was Sonic the Hedgehog and Super Mario Brothers and Castlevania?
Well,
I'm just happy that
if an older person would have played both. You know,
yes, but that's for example,
there's no excuse that you can't go back.
There is an excuse. I mean, okay,
why?
One, not all of these games are accessible.
Yeah, Jeff,
they're accessible.
Jeff's 50,000.
How much TV?
His pirate machine is a says otherwise, but I don't disagree. Like I mean. Look, my kids, they like see the retro stuff, but they don't have any interest in it. They don't want to play like old Mario games.
Do they even like Pac-Man and stuff like that?
No, they're like, what the fuck is this? Like they'll play fun. Like they'll play like new Pac-Man, right? Like they'll play like Championship Edition.
Oh, okay.
Or like a Pac-Man 256, but they don't want to sit down and play like original Pac-Man or Miss Pac-Man. Like this shit doesn't make sense to them.
And Jeff, honest, when you were younger, if your parents were like, oh man, you have to listen to this song or check out this movie, did you do that? Because most people don't.
I don't. No, short answer, no. But like, my parents weren't like forceful on any of that. Like, I really was just, I gravitated towards like art and entertainment like right away. This is who I was, you know what I mean? Like, and they just, they didn't discourage it or encourage it, and they didn't care if I wanted to see an R-rated movie. They were like, yeah, you can watch it.
Like, kids will find their own way, right? Like my son is 16, and
oh God,
like he is, but like he is like. Currently, like, I mean, he likes modern music and stuff like that, but like currently he's like really into like late 90s, early 2000s, like pop punk, like, you know, Green Day, Blink 182, stuff like that. Like, they find it, they find their own way.
But I was gonna say, the other thing with video game is like, movies are 2 hours, especially older ones are like under 2 hours. Video games are not short. Like, yeah, some of the older ones are, but like, if you want to try to keep up with the current day and go back, you're investing a lot of time into that.
Yeah, I think this is just me like slowly turning into old man yelling at cloud. But
just be happy, Jeff, that like we are that first generation of video game players. Right?
I always thought that was like. That's why I wanted to do video game journalism, because I seriously thought about this like in my 20s. I was like, I wanted to do video game journalism because I'm like, I've been there since the beginning, basically. Like, I've seen the whole evolution of video games, whereas film, that would take, like, I thought part of your job would be knowing what the fuck you're talking about. I was like, well, in film, that would mean I have to like study a lot more, you know? Like, I was like, video games, I know everything because I've been here basically the whole time, you know?
I've learned anything from the internet. You don't need to know anything.
You don't. I mean, it's $20 a pop. Say whatever the fuck you want. Make sure that SEO is good.
Every movie that you see is the best ever. Every movie you see is the worst ever. And there's no middle ground. So
5 things that you missed in the Uncharted movie. There's your article. $20. Give me $20.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
It's just a headline, Jeff. Like, okay. You have to give us the 5 things.
Okay.
Just look it up from somewhere else and then copy that.
Just real quick, that does bring me up to one point that's not video game related that does annoy me so much, is if you Google a movie after it comes out and somebody's like, yes.
Like, it could be the most straightforward fucking ending in the history of movies. And explained.
And it's like the first or second thing I make.
Yes.
What do you need to have explained here?
Like, there's some movies where I want that video at the end. Like, I'm like, if the first thing I want to do is I go on YouTube and go, I want the ending of this explained. But once you see, sometimes you're just like, who the fuck needed that explained to them? Were they asleep?
Like, oh man, I need to know what happened. No twist
or anything. Yeah.
And they do that for TV show, like streaming shows too. And I'm like, and I watch the show because I see them sometimes, like, just to Google, like, oh, are all these episodes out or something? And it's like, oh, such and such ending explained. I'm like, oh, I wonder if there's a big twist ending or something. And you watch the show, I'm like, what do I need to have explained? Like, it's pretty straightforward. And then usually it's pretty straightforward. And then, like, oh, we don't know what this means for the future. I'm like, then why did you write an article if you don't have any answers for me either?
That's the best part, Earl, is like, you scroll down to the comments and half of them are going, why does this exist? Why did you write this?
And you kicked on any Reddit, but I hate those articles so much. I don't kick on them because I'm sure I'm going to Google it right now. I'm just curious. I'm assuming it's like a Sonic the Hedgehog 2 ending explained right now article. And it's like, I don't think you need Sonic the Hedgehog's ending explained. Okay, it's not up yet. I don't see it anyhow. But I'm like, yeah, Halloween Kills, I think, had one. I'm like, I want to
What was the subtle part there in the end of Halloween
Kills? It wasn't held together much to begin with, but the ending was just like... But I'm like, yeah. I hate those so much.
Agreed.
All right. There were a couple quick news stories. Max Payne 1 and 2 are being remade by Remedy through Rockstar. I'm down with that. I remember those games being good. I don't want to go back and play them now.
You don't want to go back and play any of that era for the most part, I've discovered.
Like it's very blocky and...
Well, I mean, are they being remade or remastered or...
No, I think these are remakes.
I mean, maybe they'll look better. But I think it's one of those things where... Max Payne is like one of those franchises where a lot of stuff has come and aped out of that. Really, what was cool about it was the bullet time stuff. And I think a lot of games do that better. I'm not necessarily the bullet time.
It's but part of something more. Like, it's just a little mechanic. It's something more.
Like, you get Bayonetta and Witch Time, which is not the same thing. But, I mean, you get to slow down Tommy Riku doing it. And it's actually very fluid and fun to do versus Payne.
What was the Stranglehold, the John Woo game?
Yeah.
That did the Max Payne stuff better than Max Payne did.
Dude, I remember I never played that full game, but like I played a demo or something of it. Wasn't there a demo before it came out?
Of Stranglehold, I'm sure there was. Yeah, probably the first level.
Yeah, and I was like, God damn, this is fucking awesome. And I think I never got the game because it got bad reviews. I seem to remember.
Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, they were probably like middling reviews.
Yeah, I was probably like a guy 7, and at the time I was just like, it got no 7.9! I like reached out.
Yeah, it's like 7.9.
Yep, that's way below. It has to be 8 or above. You know, anything below that's not worth it.
So yep, they're coming at some point.
I was going to say, because I have a friend who was complaining to me about this announcement and the one we're about to talk about, in that like happy to announce no Windows, just like these games exist.
Yeah. It is a little weird. I do wonder. I mean, they didn't need to announce them because I'm sure Rockstar is funding this through them. But I do wonder about Remedy because Control was independent. They were published by 505 Games with that. It did okay. And then they did that recent first-person shooter Crossfire, which evidently was a shit show. So I wonder if like Remedy is like... It hit Game Pass, and it's evidently not good. And it launched in a broken state. So I wonder if like they had to kind of like reach out to Rockstar and be like, can we remake like the first two big games we made? Because we need a hit. We need something to get us back on track here. So I don't think the Alan Wake one did great either. The remaster.
They're now the they're now fucking Rockstar's B team, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
We're working on
But they're not a public company, right?
I think they're private.
That's why I'm confused. I'm like, yes, sometimes you make these announcements like, yes, we're working on something. See, we're not like invest in us. But I'm like, it felt weird because, again, like we might as well just jump it in.
So they are a public company.
Okay, that's probably why. Because yes, to jump it in, like Tomb Raider was announced at the Epic, the Unreal Engine showcase, and it's like, okay, we're making a new Tomb Raider game, fantastic. Any footage? No. A release window? No. Why did you need to announce this now?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Like, Square doesn't need to announce a new Tomb Raider game. Crystal Dynamics is under Square, so there's no real threat there. It doesn't make sense. I'm down for a new Tomb Raider game, though.
Oh, I'm sure people are stoked for it. It's just like, it was like, is it out this year? Is it out next year? Is it like 5 years from now? Who knows?
About the Max Payne games, though, I never played them.
No,
no.
That's a shame. Those are good games.
Really? Like, do you guys think of, like it'll hold up? Like, even if it's a full-on remake, do you think it'll still like hold up today? Now, like,
I think a full-on remake. You know, I mean, they're gonna have to update the gameplay. They're gonna have to modernize it. But I do think that it could work. Like, the story in that is like a, you know, noir detective type game. So I think it could be fun, especially the way Remedy works. Like, they're very cinematic focused, and I think they could do something cool bringing that back. I'm hoping they turn out good.
And what if it's just like a straight, like, looks a little bit better, but exactly the same thing? Like, if that if, experience holds up today, or
if,
or what?
If they were to just be like, we're just doing it, like, basically we're just doing new visuals over the old game, I don't think it holds up.
That's what I was wondering, because, like, I never played them, but I always just pictured them as you're running down a hall doing bullet time and fucking shooting at people.
Or a lot of them are interior, like, you know, hallways. It was on the PlayStation 2, so
yeah,
I think it might have also been on Xbox and maybe on GameCube as well. But yeah, I mean, like, you had to work within the constraints of those systems. It was a lot of, like, hallways where you're shooting and doing bullet time within there. It wasn't big open world environments. It was linear levels.
Yeah, yeah.
But they, you know, there wasn't a lot of detail. Like, if you were to pop that game in now, and I could rip it off the shelf and pop it in, they're like, the hallways are very sparse. You know, there's not a lot of, you know, texture work on. There's not very a lot of detail. In your head, you probably, like, I don't know when you went the last time you played them, Tony, but, like, probably in your head you remember, like, those games looked really good because they did at the time. That was 20 years ago.
Well, like, God. The reason I'm thinking all these things is, like, going back to play GTA 3 last year was, like, that shit felt ancient. It felt really old.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah. I'm just like,
and
just,
I mean,
do this again.
Max Payne and Max Payne 2 were 2001 and 2003.
Yeah. And again, much like Super Mario Brothers, the reason they're ancient is because we've had 20 years of games building on and improving on it. So they should feel dated because a lot of things have improved on it. But yes, I think that's why I'm curious if it's going to be a remaster or it's going to be a remake to see what they do to modernize it. But again, you always run into that double-edged sword of, like, you want to modernize it, but not too much that it doesn't feel like the game that people remembered it being.
One thing to note on that is the Max Payne and Max Payne 2 were great feeling games. Like, the shooting felt good, unlike other Rockstar games at the time. So
yeah,
they at least played, like, going back and playing GTA 3 and Vice City and San Andreas, like, those games feel bad because they controlled bad at the time.
Yeah.
They weren't good playing games. They were great games, but they just did not play great.
No, I remember at the time. Were good. Even at the time, thinking the same thing. Like,
yeah, it's been a complaint about GTA forever.
Yeah, like, beginning, yeah.
Why do these games feel so shitty? They're so good, but, you know, the thing you have to do most, which is, like, shoot things, is awful, and they didn't really improve that until, what, 5? 5 has pretty good mechanics, yeah. and Red Dead 2. The other thing early ahead here was there's a Return to Monkey Island sequel announced.
Yes, I don't know if it's Return to Monkey Island or Monkey Island. I'm not a Monkey Island person. People were super excited. Apparently, it was announced on April Fool's, April 1st. Everybody just assumed it was a joke, and then he's like, he confirmed it on, like, Monday. Oh, no, we're actually doing this. And, like, people dug up a post he made, like, a decade ago. He's like, if I ever get to make another Monkey Island game, I'm going to announce it on April 1st. And he did that. Yeah. So, again, not a huge fan. They were point-and-click adventure games?
They're point-and-click adventure. And they are they're good, fun point-and-click adventure games, but they are textbook examples of, like, the bullshit that genre can be. It's like, you need to connect a rope to a duck to get something. It's like, some of the puzzles just don't make sense.
I played the original. on Xbox, like 360.
Yeah, that was one of those, the first ones where you could like flip back and forth between the original and
You know, I kind of feel the same way about it, though. Like, I don't have a lot of experience with the genre, though. That was, like, my introduction to that genre, kind of. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, it's not super for me, but it seems cool for what it was.
Did they announce who's publishing it? Like, is it going through, what's that? It's Microsoft's company.
Oh, okay. For some reason, somebody was saying it was like Disney owned the IP or something like that.
Disney would own the IP because it was a Lucasfilm game. So unless they bought it from Disney, but I thought some of the IPs for Lucasfilm went to a Double Fine.
Oh, I have no idea.
Because what's his name? The Schaefer. That's him, right? Tim Schaefer.
Yes.
Tim Schaefer, yeah. Yes.
He was one of the, you know, he worked with Ron Gilbert. They were LucasArts, you know, developers, and he worked on some of those classic adventure games. So I'll be interested to see where Gilbert's publishing this. I don't know if I want to play it though.
Yeah, again, sometimes, you know, you cover news, and it may not be for you, but I saw people were super excited, and it felt like big news this week, so probably the most we'll talk about Monkey Island.
Oh, that's like kind of like made me laugh, is how many people are like, yes, Monkey Island. I guess, man, I don't know. That whole genre, like, passed me by, I guess. Like, I never played anything on the PC back in the day. That's kind of where the genre was, you know?
Did you play Mario Golf on N64, Jeff?
I did. I did indeed. Or, actually, you know what? I don't know if I played that one. Wait, I tried it over the weekend on the my secret console.
Well, you could try it on the Switch next week.
Yeah, I think I will. I think I will try it. That, like, you know, fucking emulation console I got does not run N64 games great. So I didn't, like, really give it a go on there. But so, yeah, I might try it on the Switch. I still have to play Majora's Mask as well. I've been meaning to do that. Yeah. I'm going to use my Switch, you know, membership, guys.
You get it. You get your money out of it.
Yeah.
And when's the next batch of tracks come out?
I don't know. That's what I was wondering, if there's a schedule or not. I meant to look that up. I think there is a schedule. Like, it's the Mario Kart tracks.
There's no real schedule. I mean, it's what, 6 track packs over the next year and a half.
I thought when they shorted it off, it was like, this is the first date, this is the second date. Like,
nope, they didn't show dates. It's out by the end of 2023. So again, I'm assuming that we'll get them. Probably we'll get one in the summer and probably one in like November. Because, you know, like March is near the end of the fiscal year, and then you get one in the summer and then one near the end of the year. So because Mario Kart needs all the help it can get to sell, you know, enormous amount of copies every year.
It's gotten like us to play it a little bit, and I've enjoyed playing it, having new tracks. So it's just gonna be so cool, and like the size of the game doubles by the end of this. It'll be awesome.
I thought you meant the size. Cause I'm like, I think Nintendo's been pretty good at giving those file sizes.
No, like just
like you mean like the content.
Yeah, it's gonna feel somewhat fresh, like. And just, you know, whenever you do play it, like, you're pulling from a much larger pool of stuff, you know. As much as I love playing the Excite Bike track over and over, I love that one.
Yes.
All right. Earl, are you away next week?
I'm here next week. I'll be gone the week after. Wait. Okay. I might be here next week. Hold on. What is my schedule next week? Okay, no, I'm here next week. Okay, never mind. I thought I had a worker thing. I have work stuff next week, but I don't have anything after work. I have work stuff in May. But yes, I will be here next week and then gone the week after fingers crossed, because some of Canada seems to be, you know, getting ready for another wave of COVID. So who knows how that goes.
All right. So we will be back next week, hopefully with Earl. And the week after that, I think we will be off, because Earl will be maybe in Canada and I will be maybe in Massachusetts. So.
Don't you already live in Massachusetts? But
no, I live in Pennsylvania.
Yes, but is that PAX East already?
That is PAX East. Is the 22nd, 23rd, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. I'm not sure. I do have a press pass for, but I don't know if, like, my grandmother lives up there. I'm not sure after hearing the GDC stuff that...
Oh, we did not talk about that either, did we?
No. Yeah, the GDC COVID shit that happened.
Oh, no.
Somebody had COVID. They were like, I'm going to go anyhow. And they hung out at events and after parties and stuff like that. And, you know, people got upset. And, I mean, people are right to get upset. I'm not going to say any but. But, yeah, it became a whole thing, because it's like, how could you be that selfish and stuff? Like, because they knew going in that they had it.
Yeah, they knew that they had tested positive.
I kind of feel like this sort of thing should open you up to lawsuits.
Well, that person was publicly outed too, because that person also said that they were going to PAX East, and so somebody in the games press publicly outed them. I don't know if they're still planning to go, but I mean, I'm sure there are going to be people there that have COVID. It's like, and I will be masked if I do go, but not like super confident with people just showing up and being like, yeah, I'm willing to infect other people. So yeah. I could like hang out.
The downside, and this is, I don't want to end this, but it's like, because we're not encouraging testing as much, or we're not doing testing as much, there's a lot of people who are now, because it does seem like there is a coming along with COVID. I mean, what, we've had Obama get it, Clinton's got it, Pelosi's got it.
Everybody has it now. It feels like all the people who led the charge against COVID have it.
Yes. And it's people who were vaccinated and boosted. So it's like, oh, I mean, granted, yes, it's all mild cases. But the fact is, it's like one of those things where, you know, people say this mild case, this is not. It's like, one, it's the people who are, you know, people still die from it. Two, it's the people who have their own COVID. And three, I think, honestly, after 2 years of this, it's like, there's no mild cases. You hear increase, and that paranoia, that anxiety, that stress just bubbles up again as to like, oh, we're doing this song and dance again, or we're not. And I find that causes a different set of anxiety for me.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll be back next week though. And not the week after. So enjoy your weekend, everyone. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.
Are you asking?
Question mark.